The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another hilarious edition of Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He joins us every single week. We do mutt mail. We get your emails at info at tonycurryradio.net. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time every Monday through Friday. And wherever you get your favorite podcasts are available everywhere. Get the TKR app through Android or Apple. Just TKR. Look for that flaming guitar and you will be locked and loaded every single day of the week. Dr. Rab joins us now at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I just picked up my pooch Cheetos today. They were at your place the last 9 days while I took some time off, and they came back and they're healthy and very, very happy and happy to be back on their couches here at the house. But thanks again for all the hard work you do. And what's going on, my friend? Everything good?
Everything's good. Did you have a great time on your trip?
I did. I had not been on vacation in nearly 4 years, and the kids and I went down, and I was kind of like Mr. Hammond on Jurassic Park. I spared no expense to make sure that everything was set up. I had the fishing licenses already purchased. I already had the Sea-Doos registered. I mean, I had the whole nine yards, so all we had to do was show up. It was awesome. Had a great time. Best vacation I think I've ever had. It was awesome.
It's probably the kids' best vacation, too.
It really was. It was good. And I had a friend of mine who had a place down there, so I ended up paying for the condo, which saved me a ton of money. So it was, because daddy's on a budget. But it was super good. It was fantastic. We had a great time. So I am ready to get
into some. Yeah, those times are great. And I know where you're at, because when it's, when dad's in charge, you've really got to raise the game.
Oh yeah,
When dad's in charge, you got to be sure that the kids are having a good time, because they're good. If not, then they're gonna let you know about it.
Oh, we were gonna have fun whether they're gonna have fun or not. I just told them, I said, listen, you can hop on the daddy train and enjoy yourself, or you can just go off and pout and do whatever you want. But the weather was fantastic. Low tide was at 3:30 every afternoon, which I've never seen. So there were no white caps, so you could go out in the middle of the ocean. The sandbars were up. We swam with a pod of manatees, which I've never done before. They were just floating outside our condo. I was like, let's go swim with some manatees. We touched dolphins in the ocean, which is something I've never done. It was crazy. It was great. We had a great time. But, after about, I'm probably like you, after about 4 or 5 days, man, I start getting itchy. I start getting a little irritable, and I'm like, I want to get back to work because I love what I do, and I just could not wait to get back and do Dark Side of the Pooch with you.
Yeah, I feel the same way. My grandfather used to call that, he's journey proud. Yep. He's ready to go. He's ready to get back. I'm journey proud. So it's like a phrase that I try to carry on from my grandfather.
And I'm so blessed that I'm one of those people that doesn't feel like I need a vacation after I have a vacation. Because a lot of people are like, you need a vacation to get over your vacation, so it's all good. All right, we have a ton of stuff to get into. 205-208-0301. 208-0301 is our phone number if you need your dogs boarded. I know schools are starting extremely early this year, but if you're going to get away for a last-minute jaunt, make sure you check out Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And, of course, we'll do your mail here, info at tonycurryradio.net. Before we do that, though, I want to get into this story. This is a Cujo moment. This is an absolute nightmare. So it happened a couple of nights ago on Saturday night in Dale County near Montgomery, when a gentleman, 27, we're not talking like a 77-year-old here, we're talking about a 27-year-old male, evidently found him on his driveway with a gunshot wound to his head. Then after they went back and looked at his home video, it was a dog attack. Evidently, he walked out of his home. A German Shepherd from across the street came running after him. He ran up the driveway, tripped, fell, another dog attacked him at the head, and then by the time all was said and done, 6 dogs killed this man in his own driveway. Can you make any heads or tails of why that would happen?
That's terrifying. And dogs get a pack mentality, and it's almost like a frenzy. It's almost like a situation that you see, sharks in the water. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things where one dog starts, and then surrounding dogs will they'll start attacking too. It's just this kind of pack mentality, and it's like that a good bit.
Do they even know what they're doing? I mean, this reminds me a little bit of a mob mentality when all of a sudden you start doing really stupid things. I mean, you can make a point that the insurrection was kind of like that. People just start breaking windows. They're like, what am I doing? They just get out of control.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it kind of your, I don't want to say your instincts take over, because that would mean that you just have horrible instincts, which, I mean, I guess in some ways we do. But it's a herd mentality. And even like there's been studies about it on people, like where you'll see, like there was a video, and I may have even mentioned it at one point on the show, but there was a video of these people that were, running a race. And there was a restaurant of people that were dining outside, mm-hmm. and it was at nighttime, and it was in Europe. And so this race, it wasn't like a marathon where the ropes were, you know, lining the street and everyone knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But so these people were running down the street at night. And then all of a sudden, like the people that were at the restaurant, there's a security camera that shows this. You can see they start looking around at each other. They start freaking out, and they all stand up and they start running too. Like everyone leaves the restaurant, they start running because they think that there's some type of terrorist attack. Like these people are running for a reason. We better run too.
Wow.
And so the dogs are the same way. They see a dog attacking and they think, well, I better attack too.
Is it possible? Cause I've had two of my dogs attack one of my other dogs, which was really surprising. And it was over a treat. And next thing you know, I'm like, well, what are you doing? And you could tell, like, they didn't realize what their pupils were so dilated. They were almost black. You could tell they were like out of control. And I'm sitting there going, what's wrong? Like, I wanted to shake them and go, are you okay? Are you all right? So does a typical dog that would make an attack like this, has it attacked before? Or is it possible that you could just have a hometown pet that just gets in on the action?
No, I think that they could not have attacked before. I think it's possible that they could not have attacked before. I wonder in situations like this, you know, first of all, we see the reasons every day we see the reasons where you should have a pet. And every day we see, I shouldn't say every day, but there are times where we see pets that are terrifying. And I mean, you walk in a room and if the owner hadn't have grabbed that leash, the dogs wouldn't have been the only things getting neutered in the office, if you know what I mean. I have a very healthy respect for animals. And this is a real life example of that. And there are people that don't ever have, they never have negative experiences with dogs or cats. And so they just always think that they can just, you know, walk up and pet them and love on them. And it's just, you know, there's never going to be any aggression or anything like that. You know, when I heard about this story, I was wondering, what if the guy hadn't have turned to run?
Yep.
You know, what if he had stood his ground? I don't know if it would have been any different at all. I have no clue, you know, but you hear it about bears, you know, if you're ever being chased by a bear, don't run. You're supposed to get big. And you know, stand your ground, but who knows if that would have changed this.
I would bet you're right, because I do know some dogs, and German Shepherds are like this. St. Bernards are like this. If you run, they will run after you.
They will. I can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I think they think you're playing, but yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, like, I am by no means telling people to not run away if they feel like that they're in danger.
Yeah.
But one thing that I do know is if you turn and run, the dog is going to chase you. Now, the dog still would have possibly ripped him to shreds if he had stood his ground. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I know they're going to chase if you turn and run.
Is it true that dogs sense fear? Can they smell your pheromones? Do they know that you're fearful, and will they do things differently when they know that you're fearful?
I don't know about the pheromones and the scents, but what I have read articles with really good confirmation is they can read your body language, and to them, your body language tells them everything that they need to know about your level of comfort.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. We also learn a lot from their body language. You know, you can learn a lot from the way that they're standing and acting and the things that they're doing too. But I think it's more of they can read your body language, and they know when you are confident and in control, and they know when you're on your heels.
Another dog attack, and this is breaking news, just happened earlier this afternoon on a Secret Service agent. President Biden's dog, it's a German Shepherd Commander, is now in the doghouse after its 10th biting incident while being in the White House. Obviously, it's a protective dog. You'd rather have a dog bite and just let people walk through the place. I don't know where this dog was during that insurrection. That would have been nice to have Commander standing outside the Capitol if, in fact, someone tried to break in. But that's a problem, is it not?
If the dog's biting people it's not supposed to bite, then absolutely. You're going to have a lot of workers' comp claims to deal with.
Yeah, I would think so. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear the show every Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Central Time, right here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your podcast. We're available on every major industry. Anything interesting happening at the office before we get into some mutt mail?
I mean, we have had a couple of interesting cases. The one most recently, and this is not super common, but cats can get blood cancers. They can get leukemia. We don't have a confirmed case of that yet. But it's very suspicious. It's basically a bone marrow type cancer or a blood cancer, and it can cause, normally a high white count would be like 35,000.
Okay.
But when cats get this disease, their white counts can be in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, we're talking, 300,000. So it's a unique disease, that really, I mean, you'll see numbers of the white blood cell counts that you just have never seen. And it's not a very common disease. So when we see something like that, it's cool. And there's a couple different kinds. Some kinds can be treated by chemo, and other kinds, unfortunately, there's not a great treatment for it. So if you're a pet owner, sometimes certain leukemias, they can be contagious, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. They can be passed from cat to cat. So, just be sure that you're getting your cat vaccinated for leukemia if they're at risk, because, like I said, some of the variations of this are contagious, and the vaccine can help prevent it. So it's just not something we see every day. So since we have a suspected case of it, it's a good thing to bring up.
And speaking of sicknesses, my two dogs had their flu shot while they were at your office. And I was pleasantly surprised that you have to have a flu shot in order to border your dogs there at your place, which I thought was totally cool. I was like, okay, if they have to have flu shots, they had a flu shot. So now I feel better about my dogs being protected. Is a flu shot good? Is it an annual? Is that what the flu shot's for?
It's good for a year. And that's if you'll remember, a couple of years ago, there was a really bad influenza outbreak all over town. It's so bad that they had the veterinarian that basically discovered the virus several years ago to come into Birmingham to help us kind of knock this thing out. So that's how big, the footprint was and how many pets got it. So, it's a vaccine that, I have always given, when I got out of school, the place that I worked, we had it. There's some practices that don't do it at all, but you can see the reason for it, especially with the outbreak that we had a couple of years ago. And so since that outbreak was so bad, I had never, did a mandate for the flu vaccine, for pets that were boarded until I saw how terrible that outbreak was. And, ever since then, I've just said, this is what's going to be best. So,
all right, good.
That's what we do.
Let's do some emails. Mutt mail here. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We read every single one of them as long as we possibly can. And since we're not FCC regulated, look out. We do have one very interesting email that I just wanted to bring to your attention that I think you're going to love. Yeah. Denny in Highland Commons, Alabama. First time we've had an email from there. Has Dr. Ebb ever had a customer drop off a dog and not come back? Or has it ever happened at a place where you've worked? And what happens to that animal if, in fact, that is the deal?
Man, what a great question. And also, I don't know where Highland Commons is, but that is the most regal sounding name for any Alabama town
I know, right?
That exists. I love it. I wish I lived there.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, this was, it wasn't a client. It was, it was an employee who, this is just like a really good reflection on what's been going on the past few years in our world. But it was an employee who boarded their dogs here and then just totally ghosted us.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of one story after another. It was kind of like, they got sick. This was during COVID, like, you know, during the peak of COVID. Mm-hmm. But it didn't start with that. You know, one of their relatives got sick somewhere in Georgia, so they had to go there. And then they got detained. They got, you know, detained for whatever reason, and then they got COVID, and then it turned into a situation where she resigned her position, and the dogs were still here. You know, they were still here, and this wasn't just days. This wasn't weeks. It was over a month, and we kept trying to contact this person and nothing. So there is a protocol that you go through to basically say the pets have been abandoned.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, there's a lot of paperwork that you have to, you know, you have to do certified mail to the owner. They have to sign for the package. They don't have to send anything back, but as soon as they sign that they received it, you know, when you get that return receipt, you know, then you can start to make arrangements to rehome the pets. So, and that's exactly what we did. And those pets are in great homes now. So, you know, it was an unfortunate situation. A lot of practices sometimes have to deal with people dumping their pets in there. I've never had a client do it, but unfortunately, it was a former employee.
That's kind of crazy. By the way, Highlands Commons is at the University of Alabama on campus. So there you go.
Oh,
are you sure you still want to live
there? I knew it sounded smart. I bet everyone in there is on the dean's list.
Are you sure you still want to live there?
I did not live there. I did not live in the smart place when I went to Alabama. I lived behind the train tracks.
Greg at the vape shop on Highway 280 wants to know about CBD oils helping our pets. We've actually talked about this a little bit. What do you know through your research about CBD oil and what it can do for our little furry friends?
Man, I was just reading about something with felines on this. And so CBD can, there are documented case studies that do show that it helps with chronic pain, arthritic pain, especially, at a dose of about 2 mg/kg. However, the studies do not support that it helps, at least right now. And studies are not perfect. Just because one study doesn't support something it doesn't mean that it was a good study, you know. Yeah. So far they have not been able to document that it helps with stress or anxiety, and companion animals. There is some evidence that it does help with seizures though. It can, help, keep, breakthrough seizures from occurring. So there is evidence that it could help with, chronic pain and with, keeping seizures from, occurring.
Okay, there you go. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart at Rossbridge Vet, rossbridgevet.com. Their website, 208-0301, 208-0301, area code 205. And, of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week here at 7 o'clock Central Time every Monday through Friday night. Let's go to Vivian. Vivian in Lincoln, Nebraska wants to know, Dr. Rab, if his dog could talk, what's the first thing it would say to him?
Let me get on your bed.
Is that what it would be?
Yeah, that's what it would be. Or it would maybe be grill me a steak. But when I went home today for lunch, I went up to and there are, you know, we have certain designated areas for our dog. My son loves for my dog to sleep with him, so he can get on my son's bed, he can get on our couch, and then we have dog beds for him. But he is not supposed to get on our bed, my wife's bed. Yes. So I walked in there today, actually, on my lunch break, and I just looked at him and he looked at me.
He was on your bed?
He was already up there. He's already on the bed.
Yeah.
He very slowly stood up and just like kind of crawled off the bed and ran away. So
it is the funniest thing because they actually move like human beings. Like, I'm not really here. You do not see what I'm doing right now. They get up really slow and they walk down. They kind of walk out like they hope you didn't see what's happening. It's hilarious.
And they raise their eyebrows too. Mine always raises his eyebrows. You know, it's just that look like, whoop, you know, like their eyes get big. Whoops.
All right. That's it. Tim in Birmingham wants to know Dr. Rab's thoughts on dog parks. I, you know, This is interesting because I was down at the beach and there's a dog park in Pensacola. It would seem like you'd want your dog to run. I think everyone wants to know what their dog's going to do in weird situations. And to have your dog near an ocean on a beach, I think would be totally awesome. But I also don't want to step in someone else's dog poo while I'm sitting there on Navarre Beach. So they do actually have dog beaches, parks, if you will, between Navarre and Pensacola and other areas. And they're fenced in and stuff. But it seems to me that it would be... logistically, it'd be a nightmare. I know there's dog parks downtown underneath City Walk, and I'm not sure I'd feel comfortable putting my dog inside this fenced area with any other dog because I don't know how my dog is going to react. What's your thoughts on them?
They make me a little bit nervous. I mean, for the exact same reason that we talked about when we opened the show about this, the guy outside of Montgomery that was attacked. That's why they make me nervous. You know, we have a daycare here, so it's like a dog park, but the difference is we have a kennel attendant that supervises all the dogs when they're playing. Mm-hmm. So that if it's like we talked about that body language earlier, you know, dogs give it off and humans give it off. And we have people that are trained to recognize when dogs are playing too rough or when we feel like there might be a problem. And at dog parks that are just open to the public, you don't have those trained people that can recognize when things are getting out of hand. So I'm not saying they shouldn't exist at all. I mean, I think they're great, especially for socializing dogs and, you know, giving them an outlet. But, I mean, they make me a little bit nervous, especially, you know, if you have people there that don't know what to look for.
If you had two alpha dogs from two different households and put them in a playpen together, what would happen?
Well, I mean, they would probably establish dominance in one way or another, but the bigger the group, the more important it is to establish the dominance. So if there were just two dogs in there,
yeah,
and they were both alphas and there wasn't another group of dogs, it might work out, you know, better than we think it would.
Yeah.
But it's when you have a large number of dogs and you're trying to establish dominance, that's when things can get hairy. Cause you have one dog that's making a lot of dogs mad, or you have several dogs that want to, you know, be the dominant animal in the group. And so they're all kind of starting to fight for it.
All right. Lulu and Hoover. And by the way, you can send your email questions. We get them from all over the country. info@tonycurryradio.net. And of course, go see Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital in beautiful Hoover. Lulu and Hoover has a cat, and she said it's been going up trees backwards. I'm not sure what she means by that, but she said it's the cat's actually putting its back paws on the tree first and then climbing up the tree backwards. She said, is there something wrong with my cat? Have you ever heard of that?
I think she maybe gave it too much CBD from the store on 280. And so now it's doesn't know its butt from its face.
I can imagine a cat doing that, but I've never seen it happen before. I would think maybe it has something to do with maybe sharpening its claws, maybe.
I mean, maybe, or it's just, you know, it's just playing. Yeah. You know, it's just there's no, you know, there's nothing to it other than the fact that the cat gets a cool just sensation from having its back feet on the tree and its head down. You know, it's just not, it's just, it looks weird and it's kind of out of the norm, but it could be, I mean, something just as simple as the cat just enjoys that sensation.
Yeah. Dan in Birmingham wants to know, will cats attack anything bigger than their own self? And he specifically was asking about a red-tailed hawk. If there's a red-tailed hawk sitting in your front yard, would your cat go after it or no?
Well, I know that they'll attack things that they're bigger than themselves for sure.
Okay.
Because I get attacked by cats every time I walk into the room and I'm way bigger than they are.
Yeah.
And also a cat will attack a dog if, I mean, even if the dog is seemingly not threatening it. Yeah, I mean, they'll just come out from under the couch and ambush it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So they definitely will. And cats also, they like to attack birds, you know? So I don't think that a large bird would be out of a cat's, you know, range.
Do cats traditionally eat what they catch or is it just for sport?
Sometimes they do, you know, yeah, and sometimes they leave it whole. And I mean, they're strictly just, They just want to kill it. Or play with it. You know what I'm saying? They just want to catch it. It's not, I don't want to make cats out to be like malicious, murdering, animals. But it might be just, sport, the sport of running after something and catching it with, not the understanding that if it's rough with it, it's going to kill it, So I don't want to paint cats to be terrible animals, but they're just, hunters, and they like to chase things.
Okay. RossBridgeVet.com is their website. RossBridgeVet on Twitter. And of course, you can also find them on Facebook. And, we've been doing this show now for what, 2.5 years. So whenever we get an email question that I've never seen before, it's always the email question of the week. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
This from Stephanie in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In Polynesia, North Korea, China, and Vietnam, they're allowed to eat dogs. Would Dr. Reb ever eat dog? And if he did, what does he believe it tastes like?
I would never eat dog if I had other options.
You wouldn't try just once to see what it tastes like?
I don't think that I would. I mean, I think that it would have to come down to, something that would be very unappealing, or it would be a situation where I was, gonna starve.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, because I, my whole livelihood is based. And if somebody else wants to eat a dog, That's just.
Could you imagine the outcry seeing Dr. Rab eating dog coming across your Facebook page?
That's a personal decision. If anyone is out there eating dogs, that's fine. But I mean, I spend my whole life trying to save dogs and keep them alive. So I don't want to eat them. But I understand if someone's listening, they might say, the hypocrisy of this guy. Like, because I mean, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm gonna eat meat. So. I think it's more of an emotional attachment for me that I don't think I could do it unless I just had no other options.
Yeah. According to this North Korean man, he said that dog tastes like it's a red meat, quite fatty and extremely fragrant. Take a cross between beef, mutton, add extra meaty flavoring, and you've got the taste of dog.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it sounds really, really good. It sounds disgusting.
See, I was going to say it tastes like they taste like beef jerky.
See, I would think so too. And having your hands on every part of the dog, I mean, obviously there's some parts you probably don't want to eat. There's some parts that are probably pretty good. I would think like the leg part would be like a leg of lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of dog livers. I do not want to eat a dog liver.
I don't like to eat beef liver. I'm not eating a dog liver. All right,
that's true. I don't eat liver anyway.
Tell people how they can get in touch with you, man. Great job.
You can call us at 208-0301, or you can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Ross Bridge Animal Hospital.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.